This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I feel a little guilty, JD, because like you and I haven't done a show together for quite some time. We're heading into a 3-day weekend, and I've brought the dark cloud over the show. So I promise that I will remove that dark cloud shortly, and we could talk about some things that are a little more entertaining, a little more fun. But listen, this is where we find ourselves in the world of sports, with some really real life, you know, harsh real life conversations that have to take place. And
well, it's either this or me tell you that I had to put a new toilet in my son's bathroom, so he'll stop coming downstairs and doing his business in my bathroom. I mean,
so wait a second. First of all, before we get, and I know, again, I know you wanted to address the caller's point from, and there's other issues with baseball and how the draft is changing and other things. What do you mean you had to put another toilet in your son's room?
Well, I changed out all the toilets in the house a year ago, except for the one in his bathroom upstairs. And I'm like, well, it's, you know, he's...
He didn't like it? Why didn't he like it?
8 or 9. Well, he is so particular and high maintenance.
Did you get him a bidet?
I did not get him a bidet. He probably would use it, though. But I it was an original toilet with the house. It was one of those low-wide toilets. You ever see those before?
Low what?
They're like low... The bowls are really wide. So the people that owned my house when it was first built, it was an older family.
Were they a little heftier?
An older couple.
Is that do you have a wider toilet so that?
Yes. It was more accessible for them.
Okay.
I mean, there were also like handrails in the shower. Yes, there was a bunch of that in the bathrooms, right? So so perhaps they needed help. I don't know, okay? But the toilet was, it's not a good toilet. So I changed out all the other ones and I left his for some reason. And he would keep coming downstairs because our master's on the first floor. And he'd keep using my bathroom. And he would, you know, and when he uses the bathroom, he turns all the lights on, the fans are on. He's in there for 30 minutes.
Does he do grown man work in there as well?
I think he might. It's like the dad from Friday. I mean, it's terrible. Except he's so inconsiderate that, of course, he doesn't use the air freshener spray. He doesn't even turn the lights off. I mean, he just walks out like it's, you know, business as usual.
Yeah.
So finally, I'm like, I got to
treat it like a hotel.
Yeah, right, except it's his house, and there's not a housekeeper except for me. I'm the housekeeper. So finally, I'm like, dude, go to the bathroom upstairs when you're upstairs. Why are you coming down? He's like, well, I hate my toilet. So I'm like, fine. So we got him a new toilet. I had that installed this morning. So I'm hoping now.
So did you install it?
I won't have to light incense in my bathroom every day after the kid spends 30 minutes in there.
Did you do it yourself or did you have someone else?
No, Tom. I am very limited. Now, I did lay 37 bags of mulch in the backyard.
That's a man's job right there.
I can lay you some mulch. Yeah. But as far as like actual nuts plumbing and bolts stuff, that's not me, no.
Yeah, you're not doing that. All right, back to the phone caller. The caller in the point about how his brother was, I guess, projected to be in the top 15 rounds of baseball. And now what is the draft going to be, like 5 rounds?
Five rounds is what they're saying.
And there are so many changes to all levels of sports that I've thrown everything into just kind of a quandary, has it not?
This is one of the worst things sports-wise to come out of what's going on here is this absurd idea by Major League Baseball, and I don't think it's official yet. I hope they at least make it a 10-round draft. But to go from 40 rounds to 5 rounds, and then if you don't get picked in the first 5 rounds, the maximum dollar figure you can sign for is $20,000. It is what a big middle finger to all these kids that have busted their rear ends their whole lives playing baseball, good enough to play college baseball. It's time to enter the draft. You know, there have been how many great players in baseball drafted in the sixth round or after? I mean, right. There's a huge list, okay? So not only are you going to potentially miss out on those players, what's going to happen is if you're a pretty good college player and you're a junior and you're not picked in the first five rounds, the heck with this, I'm going back to college. So now these kids are going back to college. The NCAA granted the extra year of eligibility to the seniors for this past year who didn't get a chance to play. Now they're back in college. Now you've got these programs disbanding, like Furman, yeah. Bowling Green, Chicago State. All these kids need to find a spot to play. I mean, boy, it is a bad time to be a senior in high school and trying to be a Division I baseball player. And people don't know, too. You know, people have this misnomer about college baseball. Not to spend the whole show talking about college baseball, but like when you get a full ride in football, it's a full ride. You're going to have a 2.0 GPA and you're going to get a full ride. Baseball has 11.7 scholarships. That's it. And there's typically like 40 guys on a roster.
Yeah, you split them up.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And now you got all these kids that are not going to get drafted. I mean, think about if you're trying to make it to the minor leagues and you're good enough to be a seventh round draft pick, which should be a contract worth about, I'm spitballing here, $150,000 to $200,000, which is about a seventh round pick. And now you're only going to get $20,000 to sign with the team?
Well, the landscape is just, I mean, think about how things have changed. Think about how much more things will change if, in fact, the college football season doesn't take place. I mean, you'll see, you think it's bad now, you'll see entire athletic departments fold. Do you know how much money is brought in, especially by SEC football teams?
I understand
it's
that.
It's insane.
And that bankrolls everything else. And
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Why if the decision is play, do it as safely as possible.
Right.
But understanding going in that there is going to be a little bit of risk, absolutely. If the trade-off is if we play, then all the other sports programs are protected and we don't, you know, kind of work over these kids – well, then you know what? I'm all for it. And if my son was of college age, and let's say he was a college football player, and that was, you know, and he really wants to play, and we get to August, and that's your choice, you know, either we play, try to be it safe, but we play, or everything else is on the cutting block, Tom, I mean, my choice would be to play.
Yeah. I said this yesterday in the show. I said 53-year-old me is different than 23-year-old me. And as we were talking about the NFL going back and ultimately whenever teams are going to be able to have, I know facilities are starting to open up now, but whenever they're able to work out in large groups and heading into the NFL season, 53-year-old me would probably be a little more conservative and a little bit more cautious. 23-year-old me would be chomping at the bit and ready to go and be willing to do that risk-reward analysis and come to the conclusion that the reward, and by the reward, I'm not just talking monetarily, but I'm talking about doing something I love to do. The reward of getting back to work at 23, from my perspective, would have been worth the risk. And I'm getting the impression that in a lot of cases, that is the point. But I get it. There are other scenarios, JD, where you know, a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who's made a couple $100 million and now has a young family, maybe his urgency to go, and I don't know this to be true, but his urgency to get back into the mix and get back to playing baseball, he doesn't have the same level of urgency that somebody else who hasn't had the accomplishment nor the success financially.
And that's their right. And I don't begrudge anyone for feeling that way. I mean, if Albert Pujols, who's made, what, $300 million, $500 million in his career, says, I don't feel the need to come back and play right now. I don't feel comfortable. I don't need to do it. Then that's your choice. I think football.
And the Angels would gladly escort him away.
No, yeah, no doubt. As long as that means not paying you, we would definitely agree to that. But now, football is a little different. It's much harder for NFL players to make big bucks. There aren't as many of them with that money.
Shorter
we all
career.
Know contracts aren't guaranteed for the most part. You said shorter careers, yep. Finite window to make your money. And a lot of NFL players are, sadly, a lot of them are living more of the paycheck-to-paycheck lifestyle that we are at somewhat greater dollar figures. But, I mean, so I think if you would ask, I would say this. If the NFL would come back, if they would ask the players to vote, you know, how many of you would be willing to play versus those of you that feel like, I'm just not ready, I don't want to play, I would say, Tom, probably the number of players that would vote to play, my guess would be at least 90%.
Do you have think you talked to any of the guys that you cover up at Howell?
I mean, I think everyone just wants to, I think these guys want to play.
Yeah.
They are younger people. They do have families. And look, I mean, again, you know, we talk about professional athletes making all this money, but their lifestyles don't. It's not as if a lot of them have tons of money in the bank.
Yeah, and I just so people understand, we're not passing the hat for these guys. What we're saying to you is that they have a financial desire to get back to play as well, because maybe they haven't saved as much money as you think they would have saved based on what their earning power has been. Their lifestyles is commensurate to what they make, so their incentive to get back to work is pretty high because maybe they haven't banked a ton of what they've earned. Now, you may say that's on them. True. Not suggesting that we're passing judgment either way on it. We're just telling you that there, I would think, is a pretty significant majority crew out there that is interested in getting back to work and getting back to getting paid.
I never try to get in someone else's finances. I live my life that way. I mean, your money is your money. But I never want to make assumptions. Like, you would be surprised. You don't know what kind of bills someone has. You don't know if they're supporting family members. You don't know if they have, like, let's say, a parent that is in, you know, long-term care. And my gosh, if you ever had to put a loved one in, like, a long-term facility, you don't have the right insurance, what that will cost you. I mean, you don't know. You don't know what someone deals with financially. So it would be very cavalier of me to say, well, all these guys have so much money, why would they want to risk it and come back? I just don't think, in the majority of those cases, I don't think that's true. I think the players want to play. They want to do it as safely as possible. And again, Tom, we get to the advantage the NFL has is that we're talking about later in the summer. Time. Hopefully, there'll be more progress even being made.
Waddle, real quick, you brought up earlier the idea that people might start to really lose it if football isn't back. And I think it's a 1-2 punch, because it's under that hypothetical. It's not just that football would not be back, but in all reality, if football doesn't return,
it would be because we'd be in a bad shape.
Exactly, and other sports will not have returned as well. And so, while I completely agree with you that if football does not come back in, you know, late August, early September, with nothing on the horizon for at least October, where you're kind of in limbo, it would not just be the fact that football is not returning, but now we're in a spot too where no other sports. I mean, I can't envision a scenario where maybe baseball's different because they're trying to attack a much bigger. It's just the whole prospect for baseball to me seems bigger than what maybe basketball and hockey can try to accomplish, because they only need to complete the end of their season and playoffs. And basketball in particular, talking about having these bubble/quarantine cities where they can kind of pull, you know, keep themselves in a little, you know, on a campus area where they don't have to necessarily interact with nearly as many people.
Major League Baseball also would have a bigger travel issue, I believe, than the NFL.
But, like, I can see a scenario where maybe basketball pulls off their playoffs, but baseball cannot, like, because of, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. So, like, the idea that – but if basketball happens, football is going to do whatever – anything and everything to have a season.
Right.
So – if football's not happening, it seems to me that also basketball, hockey, and baseball have not returned as well.
Yeah.
And that would be why I think things would be kind of very difficult for sports fans to wrap their heads around.
What is protocol if, in fact, because it will happen, when these sports get back to business, there will be positive tests. What is protocol, or the anticipated protocol, when that happens? And we asked this question yesterday as well. If you open things up and there is a tragedy and there is a loss of life, what do you believe will be the response of that respective league? We'll ask JD those questions when we return.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I swear to everybody out there that I will lighten it up starting with Waddle's World at 3:30. I know we're on the cusp of a 3-day weekend, so we'll lighten this up. But just a few more serious moments, okay, JD?
Well, how's your hair? Hang on.
What's it?
How's your hair?
My hair is like, it's long and voluptuous.
Do you have it like?
I could man bun this stuff up.
Future again today.
My wife. Let me just tell you this, and my wife's going to get pissed off that I say this. Okay,
it's just us. That's okay.
It's just us talking. She got so mad at me the last time. Like before, she thinks I'm foolish for putting show promos on, like with my hair looking the way it was. I was just goofing around. It wasn't like. But she got mad at me for doing it, so she told me to stop doing it. So now I don't do it anymore. And I just found out that the people, I will look different next week. How about that? I will look different next week.
See, I think now I respect Kara's opinions. Of course. I mean, you're her man. I get that. Right. But
I'm her man.
I would think that the, this only enhances the Waddle brand because.
Oh, looking like the guy from Back to the Future.
When you look like Nick Nolte after a DUI arrest. I said, if this guy isn't looking for some sort of salon endorsement, I don't know. So I thought
great
this
clips.
Was,
it's going to be great, brother. Come on.
I mean, can we get Mario Tricocci on the line, please, for a Tom Waddle? I thought it was a. She thought you should have a hat on. I thought it was a stroke of genius.
She thought I should have taken a shower is what she thought I should have done.
Well, I mean, just you're opening yourself up to a lot of business opportunities. Put it that way.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, it's about being real, right? We're in a pandemic. What do I want to do? Go upstairs and put gel in my hair? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, coming up at 2, we're going to talk about farts and whether or not baseball is coming back. And then we're going to go to Waddle's where we'll give you an update on topless Jeep party times, which I will give you in Waddle's World coming up in a minute. Have you heard? Maybe, you know what, Meller? Maybe what we should do?
Go topless Jeep weekend.
Well, I think maybe we should revisit that for JD in Waddle's World.
I've never heard about topless
Jeep. Oh, boy. Definitely. You're getting
this
a 2-minute.
I think it's probably the perfect way to set the table for Memorial Day weekend. Don't you think, Wads?
I agree with you. Yeah, 3-day weekend. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to get all the seriousness out of my system. And then we're going to wind it up, and then we're going to let it go.
Totally.
I may even start drinking in the 4 o'clock hour. I may just do that.
Woo!
I'm all gravy, baby.
Then I'm all gravy, baby.
Okay, so this is. I got a couple more serious questions, and then I'll segue to my normal self. Okay, I was just watching CNBC is always on in the background because I just want to broaden my horizons, and I'm interested in the financial markets. Okay, all right, JD.
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
Okay. All right.
I know you are.
So I wanted to ask you this question before we get to some protocol questions in sports. I just saw something about the human trials for the coronavirus vaccine, and I ask all of you, and Tyler's like 14, so he's not 14. He's obviously old.
12. He's 12.
But he's young, so like he's probably got the best immune system of all. I don't know. I've put myself through some pretty hellish things, so maybe my immune system is right up there with everybody else. Anyway,
either that or it's compromised.
Good point, Meller. But I ask you all, if they came to you and asked you if you would be part of a coronavirus vaccine trial, would you do it?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
You dive right in.
I'm all about helping my fellow man and woman.
Boom. There you go, JD. Meller. Meller's like, I don't think so. Maybe I'll take my chances with the virus.
I simply said I would really have to do a little bit of research on it because,
of course, I mean, I'm not going to like, shoot
all,
me up.
I don't want to jump in.
Listen, Jeff, JD's not going down to the local 7-Eleven and getting himself some vaccine injections. All right.
No, all I said was, look, based on my age, you know, before I want to rush to get to jump in and be the guinea pig. The guinea pig in a test for a new vaccine. I just want to do a little bit of research before I jump in on that. because based on my age, I might have a better chance of, you know, fighting through having coronavirus than actually jumping into a vaccine that I don't know any of the long-term effects.
It's a yes or no question. It's like our poll question. Yes or no? Would you make yourself available for one of the clinical trials for the coronavirus vaccine?
I mean, it's not, I mean, if the choices are...
JD said yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, well, there's a 50% chance you would die. I mean, no one's going to do that,
but if it's
a very low
I know, but
risk.
They're never... Listen, it's never going to be that. You're never going to have a vaccine that you're going to test out and say, we got about a 50% chance right now.
Okay,
we feel
listen,
like there's, death is on the table.
There is a whole lot of, you know, information that I'm leaving out because we're not medical professionals. I'm saying in general, okay? So, like, use common sense. When I ask this question, I'm asking you guys all to exercise common sense with your answer, okay? So, like, the common sense I'm using is, Jeff, that you don't have a 75% chance of expiring, okay?
Of course.
Okay, so you yes or no? JD's a yes. JD's coming over to party. Are you joining the party?
I don't know. I need more information. I don't know what to tell you. What do you mean?
Tyler, you're young. Are you in or are you out?
I'm a no. I don't like being a guinea pig.
Whoa.
I'd rather face it head on, but.
JD, you and I are in the same. I'm in.
I'm in, champ. I mean, yeah. I'm all about helping out science. And if this could save people's lives.
Yes.
With a very, very low risk to me. Of anything happening? I mean, just to
see,
try
now you're
it?
Giving me more details. Yeah. Very, very low risk. Okay, now I'm more intrigued.
I mean, you're talking about a vaccine. I mean, you're not talking about, you know, some of the
Listen,
other
this,
theories.
This possibly
we've heard.
Could be the most uninformed and most callous question I've ever asked in 25 years on,
totally.
On the radio. Yeah, but I just wanted to touch, you know, to send it out there and see what you guys had to say.
I want to get to this topless Jeep. Can we do this?
Well, that's a lot of work.
Jeep weekend.
You've got to wait for that, JD. I just want to know what you think before we segue from the serious to the crazy, and then. 4 o'clock, we're going to get into the football. Four is the football hour. And then Mark Giancarlo is going to join us at 5:30, so we'll segue back into craziness. What do you believe in sports will be protocol? Because Sylvia and I have talked about this for quite a bit, about when you start something up, the goal is obviously not to have to shut it back down quickly. But there will be positive tests. And let's even ask the question that some people may think it's too dark to ask, but we decided yesterday it's not too dark to ask because of the times we're in. What if you open things up and you get back to business, so to speak, and then you do have to deal with a fatality because somebody catches the virus and doesn't make it? What do you believe league protocol should be and will be?
Well, that's why... I strongly believe that if you are going to open things back up, you have to be ready for something like that to potentially happen. I think you would do even more damage. And again, this is just my personal opinion, okay? I think it would be even more damaging to everyone if you were to open, something like that would happen, and then you close down again. Because after you do that, Tom... Who's to say when you'll feel good about trying it again? So I think if there is a fatality or if someone tests positive, you do everything you can to address that situation the right way. But I think once you open it up, you do have to keep it open. Now, if there are, I mean, look, there are caveats to everything, right?
Sure.
Like you're talking
about. It's a nuanced
about,
conversation.
If you're talking about. All of a sudden now dozens and dozens, you know, I mean, that now right. Things change. You're saying one person.
Right.
Saying one person.
Well, they have to have protocol in place or a plan in place to deal with whatever the potential outcomes.
And I think Major League Baseball in their proposal, if you read the whole thing, I believe their proposal was if someone tests positive, that person has to be immediately quarantined for 14 days. People around that person that were in direct contact also have to be in observation. So they did account for it. They did not, to my knowledge, because I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw the reports. Nothing about a fatality was mentioned.
Right.
But you have to think about it because that is a real issue, Tom. That could happen.
Yeah. No, so I said, I mean.
That's not a topic that they would broach.
They won't
broach that publicly. And even in the proposal, they're not going to necessarily outline that if there is a death – we're going to shut down the game. That doesn't even have to be in the proposal. Like, they're just addressing how it's going to be handled if somebody tests positive. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's, you know, we found out today that per the Associated Press, MLBPA is actually asking for more coronavirus testing than is what is currently proposed in the latest offer from MLB. So right. that already is you know, that's a starting point that they're negotiating about to try and get back.
I think their hope is that, listen, when we start this up, we will have a plan in place that we can find a way to manage the positive tests that they will have. Hopefully they will be minute. There will be a small number of them, but they will exist. I will be shocked if you go through the reopening of the NBA season or the NHL season or the start of the Major League Baseball season or the NFL season and have zero positive tests. That's just, that seems to be an impossibility. So what is your protocol going to be if, in fact, it happens? And based on everything we have read or are starting to read as days go by, it seems like they are more open to finding ways to handle those situations without completely shutting down the business, because it's something that Sylvia said from day one. Listen, you can't open these things up and then get into this process of shutting things down. And once you're open, unless you have something catastrophic happen, you got to try to stay open and just handle the negative stuff that may occur. So
totally.
Okay. Hey, okay, enough of the serious stuff, okay, JD. I promise you that I'm done with that. Are you cool with us segueing into the less serious?
Yes, I've been waiting for this.
Okay, we'll do just that with Waddle's World when we return.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Waddle's World is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's best. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Are you a fan of Waddle's World, JD? Or
a fan of Waddle's World? Are you kidding me? I am the number one fan of Waddle's World. I told Sylvia last week that, aside from my wife or my radio partner, I think Waddle's World is the greatest running segment on Chicago sports radio.
I'm blushing. I'm flattered, and I'm blushing. See, our good friend Freddie Huebner thinks differently. He doesn't like Waddle's World. And the great thing about Freddie is he'll stand across from me doing a show and tell me, right as we're about to do Waddle's World, that he doesn't like Waddle's World.
I always like it when Freddie is in for Waddle, because then he has the honor of being the host of Waddle's World.
Does he talk about IPAs and soccer? Is that what he does in Waddle's World?
Not so much.
No?
He usually keeps to the format.
I mean, I remember being part of this show since day one. I remember when Waddle's World was only a one-day-a-week affair.
That's right.
And it was so good. And there were so many stories coming out of Florida or Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going
to
do that, too.
5 days.
We're going to do that as well. Today is a Friday, and that means Florida or Ohio in the back end of Waddle's World. Back that thing up. Hey, before I get into the sports-a-roo, which is the prelude to the nonsense, I just want to fill everybody in. Sylvie's talked about this a ton over the last day and a half. As we all support Sylvie and his journey and his fight against cancer. And he has done it in such a brave and open manner and has been so willing to share his experience and also try to give back through the process. So he created with the great people at Obvious Shirts a Sylvie Strong t-shirt. Actually, there's a couple of different designs. One was from his son Mason, and the other one is just kind of a Sylvie Strong shirt, and they have them in men's sizes, they have them in women's sizes, and if you're a big kid, you could probably still fit in one of the men's sizes as well. So how about there's t-shirts for human beings of all ages? That sound right? Sound like the best way to do that?
Yes, yes. And I actually bought three different sizes. I bought four. I bought one for each member of my family to support Sylvie. And obviously it goes towards a great cause because everything goes to the Jimmy V Foundation. So we know that every cent goes to cancer research. So, yeah, if you're somebody who listens to the show and wants to show your support, check it out. It's we've all tweeted about it, I think, right, Waddle? And
yep.
All the t-shirts are available at obviousshirts.com. And Waddle, I don't know if you saw this, they took your little brainchild that we had at the end of the show yesterday.
Did they?
They did. And now they haven't completed it completely because they're waiting for an actual print of Braxton giving the middle finger, like you suggested. But they gave us a mock-up of what it would look like. And so I think they're very
perfect.
Soon could be a third design available.
See, I'm always looking out for Braxton. Mason's got his design, which is a fabulous design. And it was my thought, JD, that Braxton gets his design as well. So what I said was, is you take his hand, you dip it in dye or paint, and you make a mold of it or a screen of
print,
it.
Print.
A print of it, thank you, of him with the middle finger with just Braxton's hand in the middle of the shirt with cancer at the bottom of it.
There you go. I think that that fits the personality quite nicely.
And we all know, JD, this is a cause that's also near and dear to your heart as well. So this is a tremendous opportunity for people to give back. And as we've always said, the V Foundation is such a great foundation, and 100% of your donation will go to cancer research. So it's a great cause. Great cause. Okay, with that in mind, how about some sports notes for you? The SEC has voted to allow athletes back on campus starting June 8th. The use of campus facilities would be voluntary workouts under strict supervision of designated university personnel and safety guidelines provided by each university. The SEC's vote comes 2 days after the NCAA Division I Council voted to allow voluntary on-campus activities to resume in football and men's and women's basketball starting June 1st. This is a development that I'm very optimistic about that I think kind of just... Maybe I wasn't expecting it. Maybe we were all conditioned over the last several weeks or months to think that nothing was ever going to open up and we weren't going to try anything. But this kind of this came up pretty quick, and I'm happy to see this that they're going to let these young student athletes back in a healthy and safe environment to get back to doing what they love to do.
I would agree. I think everything is and again I feel that in Illinois it's been a little harder to see things opening up because we have been closed, which has been fine, but there's been a lot going on in other parts of the country, Tom. But even in our state, you know, when the governor comes out today and says that child care facilities in Illinois will be allowed to reopen as soon as next week, that's over 2,500 child care facilities. So, I mean, things are slowly moving in the right direction, and if things go well when these schools open up for athletes starting next month, then hopefully that will lead to better things happening, like practices being allowed and then games being played. That's the hope. But it certainly seems like we're slowly creeping in the right direction.
Yes, we are. The Big Ten is leaving the return date to the separate schools. Conference is not expected to make a league-wide announcement on athletes returning to campus, leaving the decision up to the individual schools. Sources are telling ESPN's Adam Rittenberg. Instead, the Big Ten will defer to NCAA rulings and guidelines with each campus, state, and local area. Big Ten presidents will meet June 7th and discuss the fall sports season and other major topics. So all I've asked for all along is a plan, and it sounds like everybody is getting their plan together. As we mentioned earlier in the show, sad news about former Bulls great and former Jazz coach Jerry Sloan, who has passed away at the age of 78. He died this morning due to complications from Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia. He was a fan favorite, obviously. Led the Jazz to 15 straight playoff trips and appearances in the 97 and 98 NBA Finals, obviously against our Chicago Bulls. Sloan was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame back in 2009 following a 26-year coaching career and a 10-year playing career, during which he was a two-time All-Star and four-time member of the All-Defensive Team. And obviously his number 4 was the first jersey number retired by the Bulls.
I believe he was dubbed the original Bull. correct?
That is correct. The Browns are set to auction off a chance to help script plays. As part of the all-in challenge, the Browns are offering the opportunity for two people to help script the first 15 offensive plays of a preseason game. One winner will be determined via auction and the other from a raffle. Browns coach Kevin Stefanski will invite both winners to help him and offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt script the 15 plays to open a preseason game. JD and I are going to talk about this at the
taking the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Definitely that as well. At 4 o'clock when we get into the football hour, which I've the Friday football hour is 4 o'clock as far as I'm concerned. Does anybody have a problem with that?
It's your world, man.
Okay, I mean,
this
so
actually
Friday
is Waddle's world.
Is football hour, 4 o'clock, top of the hour is a football hour. I gave Tyler at the break a work assignment, and I titled it, what are the sports on tap this weekend that we can actually watch if we're so inclined, Tyler? Did you fulfill your homework assignment?
I did. So we've got plenty of soccer on. The Bundesliga's back, a little bit of Costa Rican soccer as well. If you want a little vroom vroom in your life, the Coca-Cola 600's going on down in Charlotte.
Racing!
And then, of course, the main event this weekend is the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, along with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, the match that's taking place on Sunday.
You going to watch that, JD?
I'll have to talk about it on the show tomorrow on the network, so... Yeah. Yeah, I think
I'm thrilled
gonna.
About it. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, you know, listen, I mean, I wish we could just do Waddle's World for 4 hours every weekend. But
you can't.
Alas, I believe there's also a professional cyclist booked for tomorrow's program.
Who do you got? Oh, when does the Lance,
sure.
the
yeah,
Lance
that's
Armstrong
a, yeah.
30? Is it a 30 for 30 that's coming out?
It's a 30 for 30. It okay. must be. This weekend. Otherwise, okay. I'm not sure why the cyclists would be booked. But these are other issues that are not part of Waddle's World and the fun we're having. But am I going to watch it on Sunday? Heck yeah.
It smells like somebody's smoking reefer around my house because my window's open in my office and it smells like strangely like smoke outside.
Can I tell you that two days ago, I had the windows open in the house. I'm airing out the house. I've got the back door open to the deck. And there was a strong odor
of reefer
in my house. And I walked out on the deck and I'm like, which neighbor is this coming from? And you know that you live in a great community when it could be either to your left or to your right.
Wow.
It was great. And it went away fast.
Clowns to the left and
powerful.
The jokers to the right. Here
That's
I am
right.
getting high with you.
These are real world issues that my elderly neighbors are dealing with. I love it.
Hey, JD, when we come back. Okay, not only are you going to get a play in a little something we call Florida or Ohio, but we're going to fill you in on something also that I think is going to light your wick, so to speak.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I know one thing about Jeff Dickerson. I know it is that he likes to have himself a good time. A good time. Maybe even a great time.
Guilty
but
is
certainly
charged.
A good time. And I know that pointing you in the direction of a good time every now and again, even if you can't participate, but you live vicariously at times, as we all do, through some of the people that get to experience some of these good time moments. So... we were perusing in our, you know, depressed mode as we were. We weren't able to go out and do anything. We'd been in quarantine. But then things started to open up a little bit, and we started to look over the horizon and see, hey, what are people doing over here, and what are people doing over there? And, oh, my gosh, look at that celebration going on in Galveston, Texas. And Jeff Meller and I were like, wow, this is something that maybe at some point in our lives we will attend. We can't do it just yet. But this sounds really interesting. So we did a little bit of research on it. Isn't that a great way to describe it, Jeff?
Yes. And I think, JD, to really get a handle on it, Jordan James of 12 News Now did a great job of giving you a little bit of the atmosphere that was going on. Go
before
ahead,
you Wes. Do that, Jeff, is there any way to kind of even give it a little bit more of a description as to what it is? Kind of a...
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Doesn't that say it all? I don't know.
You know what? You're right. Shame on me for trying to interject anything more than that. Why don't you just take it from there?
We'll let Jordan James take it from there.
After several weeks of being stuck inside, thousands have flocked here to Bolivar Peninsula to make the most of their time while out.
Been in quarantine, and like I need to get out and party.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
What's better than beach and a few drinks and Jeeps? Man, it can't get any better than that.
In full swing at beaches on Bolivar Peninsula. This event comes at a time where beaches across the state are reopening following the coronavirus pandemic. And beachgoers like Chelsea Collier are still taking precautions to stay safe.
Wash them hands for 20 seconds and keep them clean with the Germ-X. Totally.
At last year's Go Topless event, chaos erupted. About 80 people were arrested. 6 people were taken to the hospital. But this go-round, the Galveston County Sheriff's Office has enlisted the help of 40 DPS troopers.
Come down, have a good time. You have a good time, there's no issues. But when you start acting silly, like the sheriff said on the previous interview, we've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
The sheriff's office have made at least 63 arrests so far in connection to Jeep Weekend. As for the enforcement of social distancing, they say it's challenging to enforce.
I mean, you can't. It's just, it's not possible to do that on this beach with the amount of people that we have here. It's just, we can't do that.
The additional presence of law enforcement has been a welcoming sight for beachgoers, given the history of this event.
Law enforcement's definitely made their visibility and made people chill out and not be as crazy. The cops are doing their job as long as they don't be mean to people who are actually being innocent. Then I'm all gravy, baby.
And if you missed out on today's festivities, you can come out tomorrow. Like the Galveston County Sheriff's Office says, act responsible while having fun. Reporting here from Bolivar Peninsula, Jordan James, 12 News.
Great job, Jordan. He should have then drove away his last shot, driving away in a Jeep.
You want to go next year?
Well, there were 200 arrests. Now I'm reading about it.
According to the NBC affiliate,
I'm gravy, baby.
When all was done, said and done, this year's version of the Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Nearly 200 have been arrested. And
I believe a couple people were shot. Two people
were shot as well.
We've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Then I'm all gravy, baby.
When I brought this story to the people a couple days ago, JD, it's just like the first thought that goes through my mind is this is why we can't have nice things. We've all been cooped up. You know, we're starting to loosen up the rules. Everyone's allowed out a little bit. And next thing you know,
wash them hands for 20 seconds.
I mean, we can't have nice things.
I want to hire that reporter at ESPN. I think we've got to need it at Outside the Lines for someone like that. That is some Reese 60.
What was his name?
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
It would be Jordan James, 12 Jordan News James. Now.
Good yeah. job, Jordan. Really
been
good.
In quarantine, really? And like I need to get out and party. Woo!
I mean, even on radio, that television package just works.
Great. Yeah. I've also said, listen, I mean, the visuals, take it to the next level.
Then I'm all gravy, baby.
Take it to the next level. So if you get the opportunity, Google, okay, Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
And you will see his report. What's his name again, Miller?
Jordan James.
Jordan James. He will give you the report. It's spectacular.
When you start acting silly, we've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Empty holes. That's kind of scary. Ooh, I mean,
yeah.
He didn't say empty cells, everyone.
No,
he said
did.
Empty holes.
Hey,
like, there's
something
else going on there.
We've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Totally.
A South Oklahoma City elementary graduation has upset a neighborhood resident who claimed the celebration was too loud and the noise needed to stop. The last day of class.
Wait, elementary school?
Yes, the last day of class at Santa Fe South Spiro Elementary School looked different this May. The school's administration organized a drive-by summer send-off for nearly 500 students. Parents and teachers decorated posters and cars, but not everyone was on board. It was just constant air horns and honking, one of the residents said. A guy named Albert. Albert, who has lived directly across the street from the school for about a year now, took a marker and a cardboard sign and made his own sign that said, Shut the blank up.
Oh, Albert, go get bent. Get out of here, Albert.
He stuck it straight in his front yard so everyone could see it.
When you start acting silly, we've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Yeah,
this isn't Go Topless Jeep Weekend, Albert.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
This is elementary school graduation celebration.
And finally, a Mount Airy man named Jesus confesses to vandalizing a local church. With that in mind, I think it's time to play a little game we like to call Florida or Ohio.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Yeah.
By the way, this hour of Waddle and Sylvie brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Visit any of the 11 Chicagoland Northwest Indiana Acura dealers today and test drive the 2020 RDX. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com. Paint fight at the local Home Depot.
Say that again?
Paint fight at the local Home Depot.
Paint fight. I saw the video of this. I don't know where it occurred.
Video
but
captured four men at a Home Depot parking lot, nailing each other with blows and throwing open paint cans at each other.
We've
incomplete.
We've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Disregard of social distancing measures. A large man in a blue t-shirt and paint-covered jeans is seen flinging a can at another man near a red pickup truck as an accomplice in a white shirt swings a garden hoe.
Not a garden hose, but a garden hoe.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're going to swing
way
a
more
weapon,
painful than a
you'd rather be a garden
hose
spikes. Than a garden hose.
JD, you have a do you have a guess that
well,
you'd like to make?
Right.
And an explanation for your guess.
I will give you said explanation. In my experience in the great states of Ohio and Florida, I have found generally that parking lot incidents take place at a higher frequency in Florida than Ohio. For some reason, Florida tends to be the gathering spot in the parking lots of Home Depot or Target or whatever. I've seen some things in Florida parking lots. I haven't personally seen those things in Ohio parking lots. So if I had to guess, I'm going with Florida.
I will go with Vero Beach, Florida myself.
I think JD's a good leader. I'm going to be a follower and go with Florida as well. That's a clean sweep for Florida.
It is, and you're all correct. Tampa, Florida.
Yeah. I saw the weirdest thing ever in Gainesville, Florida, in a parking lot for a Target. I mean, it must have been, I must have seen like 20 cars you would see in a meth lab. It was like the Fast and the Furious, but like in Gainesville, Florida, in a Target parking lot.
Is there more to the story?
Because no, that's about it. I'm just saying weird things in parking lots happen in Florida all the time.
More weirdness and football conversation when we come back in 2 short minutes.